President Trump has threatened to cut off funding for aid groups in Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador, and warned he wants to close the border with Mexico to asylum seekers, even though petitioning for asylum is a privilege guaranteed by law. And though a crisis, most of those arriving at the border now are women with children. Critics of the president's policies say you can't stop them coming until you stop what they're fleeing. Journalist Sonia Nazario is back from a month of reporting in Honduras, and to acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney's question, if aid is working, why are people still coming? She responds, because they don't want to die. Women in particular are dying in horrible ways, so a warning. As we talk about this, it will be disturbing. Sonia Nazario is a contributor to the New York Times. We'll link you to her op-ed at herenow.org. She's also author of the bestseller Enrique's Journey, based on her Pulitzer Prize-winning 2002 series in the Los Angeles Times. She joins us from WYPR in Baltimore. Sonia, welcome back.
Thank you, Robin. Glad to be here.
There's a stunning sentence in your reporting. You write, unlike in much of the world where murdered women are killed by husbands or family members, half of those murdered in Honduras are killed by drug cartels and gangs, and they're being killed in ways that are horrifying, shot in the female body part, cut to bits with their parts distributed among various public places, strangled in front of their children, skinned alive. You know, what do you say right off the bat to people who say, oh, come on, that's just a partisan exaggeration?
Well, I've been a reporter for three decades and been in some of the most deadly places in the world, and I was scared out of my wits. 4 out of 10 women in Honduras, when they're murdered, are mutilated. They're killed with a cruelty that goes beyond what is needed to kill them. I mean, everyone in the neighborhood where I spent time in Honduras knew about the two women who had been killed in 2017, and one of them had been skinned alive, and then they had left their body parts in three different places. The torso was missing. Women repeatedly told me, I only go out to get food and to go to my job and return from my job. Yeah. I am scared to death, and I believe them.
There was a 2015 survey that ranked Honduras as one of the world's deadliest places to be a woman, up there with El Salvador and Syria. 380 Honduran women murdered last year. But this is a country that has a population of New York City, and it goes deep into the government structure. I mean, you start off talking about an agent for what's essentially Honduras's FBI, which is supposed to investigate the killings of women. What happened?
Well, they're supposed to investigate the killings of women, but in the case of an agent for the FBI, she appears to have been murdered by one of the leaders of this agency. So the agency that's supposed to protect women actually has leaders that are killing them and then trying to cover up, making it look like it was a suicide. And it clearly was not a suicide. This agency of the FBI didn't allow anyone else at the crime scene, which has never been done before. Usually there's three or four different groups that investigate. The crime scene was clearly altered. Her phone moved three times and then ended up conveniently in a jar of water. And it turns out that she was likely murdered by one of the heads of this FBI agency. And the women who tried to tell the truth at the morgue, saying, no, this was a homicide, it wasn't a suicide, soon found themselves being followed by a group of sicarios, killers, supposedly by this FBI group.
Well, and these women have applied for asylum. I mean, that's a perfect example of women who are trying to flee the violence in Honduras. And but you go on. So that's, you know, deep within the government structure. But, you know, there's a man who took a machete to his wife's feet.
Right. So a lot of the murders occur by gangs or drug cartels because women are being recruited to sell drugs. They think that somebody is more likely to buy drugs from a woman who's flirting and less likely to be a suspect by the police. And they're being recruited forcefully into those jobs in many cases. They don't have an option. Also, there's just the hyper machismo of places like Honduras. And I interviewed a woman, Heidi Hernandez, whose husband wouldn't let her step outside the home without permission. One day he put a machete to her throat and made her kneel with their three young children and threatened to kill her. And then finally one day she came home a half hour late and he pulled out the machete from under the bed and started hacking into the back of her legs 10 times and cut off parts of both of her legs in front of her 8-year-old daughter, Maybelle, who was screaming, "Daddy, don't kill her." That man was charged with inflicting light lesions. Light lesions. I mean, this woman lost both legs and her heart stopped twice and she nearly died. And only when the daughter went to visit dad at the prison and dad said, "Well, when I get out, I'm going to finish her off," did they add 20 more years. So yeah. Often there is no reprisals for men who kill women. 9 in 10 of these murders get no justice, get no court date, you know, no verdict.
Well, and as you say, prosecutors who do their jobs often end up dead. Women who are being assaulted either by gangs or husbands have no place to hide, no shelters. In domestic abuse cases, women are sometimes told to deliver their own restraining orders. And just tell us more. You've given us quite a few suggestions why, but what are the other reasons this is happening?
I think that the sadism that I saw in Honduras towards killing women is a way of showing to women men's power, that they are all powerful, and showing this to rival men. And the extremes to which they go and the ways that they kill women is trying to instill terror in their enemies, both by gangs and by these drug cartels that are rampant, especially in northern Honduras. Mm. And because there are no investigations of these murders for various reasons, corruption amongst the various agencies that are supposed to investigate, the police, the judges, many are bought off, incompetence. You know, a lot of these positions are political positions, so they don't really know what they're doing. Lack of resources. I mean, the prosecutors are investigating 300 murders of women each. That's impossible. Mm. And just a lack of interest in doing the work. I spent time at the morgue in this northern city in Honduras, and they do an autopsy report and an initial investigation, and prosecutors don't even pick up 4 or 5 of these reports that would be the start of an investigation. So there's just a lack of interest by the state in protecting women, and some members of the state are killing these women. And so these women aren't going to stay in Honduras and be slaughtered.
Yeah, no wall is going to keep them out either,
no.
You say. Well, when it comes to the aid money, most of it goes to these aid groups, some of it to the government itself. But we spoke to a critic. She's not for cutting off the funding. This is Anita Isaacs. We'll link it at hereandnow.org. But is for more accountability on the part of the government, which is in most cases corrupt, more demanding that, as you say, and as women's groups there are demanding, that the U.S., as a condition of aid to the government, require Honduras commit a percentage of its budget to holding abusers and killers accountable. The picture you paint, though, there would have to be a wholesale change of who's in these public offices because so many are corrupt.
Yeah, and I think that that's possible. There's been a purge of the police in Honduras. They fired about 5,000 out of 12,000 cops. There needs to be a purge of the other institutions, the prosecutors, the judges, the military police. I think that we need to actually increase aid and have a Marshall Plan of sorts. But I think your other guess is right. We need an actual plan. We need to make sure that the money is well spent, coordinated, not in this hodgepodge of programs that we have now that have been kind of thrown together. I mean, we don't even have a ambassador in Honduras. We have a chargé d'affaires who leaves every few months to go on military duty. We need to actually focus on this. Rather than putting up concertina wire at the border, if we spend millions of dollars in Honduras, it's actually cheaper than spending money when folks arrive at our southern border asking for safety and asking for help. So I think instead of focusing all of our attention on this wall and concertina wire, we need to focus attention on how do you set up the most effective program to bring about change, bring better lives for women, more sex ed in schools in Honduras, and provide a bargaining chip for reforms by the government to purge people who are corrupt, and target the killers of these women, provide incentives to do that. There are many things that we can do that we are not doing.
Sonia Nazario, and we'll link you to the result of her month-long reporting in Honduras at hereandnow.org. Sonia, thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm still stuck on the fact that women have been skinned alive. Your thoughts welcome on what you just heard, hearnow.org.